The show is live and local. It's your connection to local performances. And on today's program, we'll talking about four different performances. I guess technically three are performances, and one is a workshop slash showcase. All of them, including Keith Harden, who is a wonderful singer-songwriter, blues guitarist, singer, harmonica player, plays a bunch of other stuff as well. He was a longtime fixture in the Champaign-Urbana community before moving out east, now lives in Nashville, and comes back every once in a while to perform in his old stomping grounds. And this week he's got a solo gig tonight, and then he'll be with his sister, singer Kathy Harden, and also guitarist Andy Baylor Friday night, and then he's got his Keith Harden Band reunion Saturday night, and then we'll be among the singer-songwriters presented in a showcase on Sunday. More details on all those things, and more to the point, we'll be hearing live from Keith Harden in our studio this hour. Stay tuned to Live and Local.
Change. everything be okay? Lucky is bound to change. Wake up laughing every day just to keep from crying. Wake up laughing just to keep from crying. Wake up laughing just to keep.
Song's called Your Luck is Bound to Change by Keith Harden from his CD called Calico. He's joined by a number of others on that disc. I'm not sure how many are actually involved in that particular piece, but I thought I heard a fiddle, so that would be Becky Buller.
Becky Buller.
And let's see, John Pennell must have been on bass.
Not on that,
that
one.
Wasn't he on
no,
that one?
No.
Thought I heard a bass, but maybe not.
I did. I played bass on that one, too.
Oh, you did?
I play bass, too, yeah.
Oh, well, you just do everything. You, ladies and gentlemen, is Keith Harden, who is with us, in fact, in the studio. He is back from Nashville, back to Champaign-Urbana, sort of his roots here. Although, is this your original roots? Are you originally from Champaign-Urbana?
No, right Tolono.
In Tolono. Close
yeah,
enough.
Close enough.
To Champaign-Urbana area.
Yes, close enough.
And took off from here in 2001 for New York, ended up in Nashville 2007, has been there since, but comes back here pretty regularly, including this week. And we're pleased to have known that ahead of time and booked this date months ago. I think when you were here last
Christmas time.
Yeah, which is another time when he always has his Keithmas program. And this time be here for three concerts or three performances and then participating in a songwriter thing going on Sunday. He's going to be at Blair Park in Urbana. That's on Vine Street at Pennsylvania Avenue between Pennsylvania and Florida this evening at 6:30. And, you know, I was saying to somebody yesterday, I didn't even know that they ever had music over there. That's just down the street from me. So good place to be. And then with his sister Kathy and guitarist Andy Baylor. Kathy's a wonderful singer. And the three of them will be at Alta Vineyards in Champaign Friday night at 7:30. That's a great place to hear music. And then the Keith Harden Band reunion show will be at the Iron Post in Urbana Saturday night at 9 o'clock. And then on Sunday, it's something called Songwriters in the Round, which Gloria Rubel is going to host, and Keith will be among the featured songwriters. That's from 6:30 to 9:30 at Mike and Molly's in downtown Champaign. So you got a lot of stuff lined up, plenty of chances to regroup. Mm-hmm. Is this something that you feel the need to do to somehow revitalize your blood or something like that?
Yes.
And yeah. Why?
Well, just I see my family and a lot of friends and get to play in an environment that I played in for a long, long time. And it just rejuvenates me. I make a little bit of money and, yeah, it's just great to reconnect with the town. And I love Champaign-Urbana. So it's all good. And I stay at my sister's basement, which is really like a modern New York apartment with air conditioning and everything. And have my own shower, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, all the modern amenities here in Champaign-Urbana right. That you don't get in New York and Nashville, right?
Right.
Depends how much money you make, how much you get in New York and Nashville, I suppose. The Keith and Kathy thing on Friday with Andy Baylor joining. Kathy and Andy often play together. In fact, they're competing with you tonight. You realize that.
Yeah, it's sort of an overlap. I'll go over and hear them when I'm done.
Oh, good.
They're at Clark Bar.
Clark Bar, yeah. They call themselves the Diva and the Dude.
Right.
But when she's with you, it's just Keith and Kathy Harden.
Right.
And
she's
Andy.
Just herself.
Yeah. Do you only perform together when you come here, or does she ever go visit you and play around Nashville?
Well, she hasn't performed with me in Nashville, but when I lived in New York State, she came up there and sang at a couple of clubs with me, and people loved her. So
why not Nashville?
Well, I don't know. Just I don't know why her and her husband have been down a couple of times, but they came down to see Jack White, and they were there for a day and a half and then gone. And then the last time they were down to see Robert Plant and Alison Krauss and were gone in a day. So it just, you know, if they came down on a night when I had a writer's night, then I would definitely have her sing, but it just didn't work out schedule-wise.
So what's a writer's night?
A writer's night, well, you go, it's usually at a club, a lot of them, and it'll be, say, from 6 to 9 or 7 to 10, it'll be usually 20 writers.
By whom? Let's by see, which you mean, I assume, songwriters.
Four rounds of either three or four songwriters, so anywhere between 12 and 16 or 18 writers. And they all sit in the round or, you know, in a line and take turns playing their songs.
So not unlike what you'll be doing on Sunday.
Yeah, just like what I'm doing on Sunday, writers in the round. And you get all kinds of songwriters down there, some who have had hit songs, some who are just struggling, and then everything in between.
Would you say you're one of those in between?
I'd say I'm one of the struggling ones, but I don't really try to write the country hit songs anyway. I just write what I write. But you encounter all kinds of writers, anybody who's writing blues or country or even instrumentalists who do kind of the Michael Hedges guitar instrumental thing, or piano players or fiddle players. One time there was an actual harp player. Not harmonica, but...
Concert harp.
But a harp player. Yeah.
I'm trying to remember the name of... there was a guitarist who was living in Nashville named William something who came... was here recently and I talked to on the show. We didn't get him to play live, but he played at Indigo Gallery in downtown Champaign. And I thought he was a wonderful guitarist. I wish I could remember his last name. Who knows? It might be somebody you know.
William Black?
I don't think so. I'll have to look it up. Maybe while you're playing one of your songs, I'll go look him up and listen to you in the hallway. He I think doesn't sing, so he just an instrumentalist. Although it seems, I have the impression that Nashville is full of people who sing.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I mean, if you're just an instrumentalist, then you back up for a singer. You play backup for a singer. Is that a fair general characterization?
I'd say 99.9% of all the songs at songwriter nights or venues have a singer, and it's based around the song. Even though there is a classical scene and a jazz scene, and then people like, say, Jerry Douglas, the dobro player who plays with Alison Krauss, he'll go out and do an instrumental thing. He just went and did a tour where it's he and Victor Krauss, Alison's brother, and who's the third person? I can't remember who the third person is, but they just do all instrumentals, kind of in a cross between jazz and rock and bluegrass. But the majority is all around singing and songs.
Well, I know you brought some number of them to do yourself today, and we got you for the hour, so why don't we launch into something?
Okay, I will. If you wonder what this is, I burnt my arm a couple weeks ago.
And what he's talking about, this is, he's got basically a bandana, red bandana hanging over his guitar, and I guess that keeps you from scraping him on the corners, huh?
Right. Well, we were talking about hair colors earlier.
Before we started the show.
Anyway, I have this song that I wrote earlier this year, and going through the winter is always kind of rough. I'm isolated quite a bit, and I was reading poetry and lots of literature and everything like that, and this song came out. It's called Dark-Haired Girl, and I realized that when I was done, there are no rhymes in it. summer dress, as white as China, as smooth as silk. Quicksilver woman, she's gone again. Cried for my baby, for my dark-haired girl. Laid down in the green grass, felt like the end. I cried for my baby, for my dark-haired girl. In a pool of sorrow, I'll drown again. In a pool of sorrow, mother's flight. She speaks in rhymes. She has no reasons. Quicksilver woman, she's gone again. I cried for my baby, for my dark-haired girl. I laid down in the green grass, felt like the end. I cried for my baby, for my dark-haired girl. I'll drown again. I'll drown again.
Called Dark Haired Girl by Keith Hardin, sung and played live in our studio here on Live and Local by Keith himself. Always wonder and probably ask to an annoying degree, various singer-songwriters, was that a real person you knew?
It's more like a where you're dreaming and you kind of wake up and you have these images of... Let me try to put it another way. Say you ask an author and they're coming up with a character for a book, and it's a composite of different ideas and memories and thoughts and desires and et cetera. So partly a real person, partly a combination of several different real persons.
And then a little bit of imagination in there.
And then a lot of imagination.
A lot of imagination.
Yeah.
You said after you wrote the song, you realized there were no rhymes in it. Is that important?
Well, it's just very different than anything, because when I do songwriter collaborations with other people, we're always sitting there and you do a line and you go, well, what's a good rhyme for that? You know, and so you're constantly thinking about rhymes, because everything kind of has to rhyme to be normal or commercial, or it has to be a sort of a rhyme. And so it's just like I didn't even think about it when I was writing it by myself. It was more of a dreamy, just got up and wrote some lyrics after I woke up and had these images. And then when I looked at it a couple of weeks later, I didn't even realize it doesn't have any rhymes. Because if I had written with somebody else, they would have gone, well, that doesn't rhyme. You know, that I would have done the third line. They say, well, that should rhyme.
And then they'd say, fix that.
Yeah, or we would at least talk about it. And I would say, well, I don't want it to rhyme there. Let's rhyme it the next line. You know, we would go back and forth. But this one, I didn't have anybody else writing it with me, so I just let it go where it wanted to go.
I didn't feel the lack of rhyme. I mean, it didn't seem like that should have rhymed, or it should have had something in there that did that. I mean, it seemed to be a song that flowed, and there you go.
Good.
I mean, there's. I always wonder how much songwriters think of themselves as poets, because it seems to me that so many songs, good songs, could be taken by themselves as good poetry.
Yeah, well, you know, people like Dylan, his stuff, and Leonard Cohen and Joni Mitchell. I mean, their stuff is extremely poetic, I think. I mean, I think people get that whether they are conscious of it or not. They feel that from those writers because they're such brilliant writers. Oh, I wanted to say this microphone combination you set up, Mike, is so good. This XY pattern just makes the guitar sound so good.
Little tech talk here.
Yeah, tech talk.
Mike Pritchard is our sound engineer for this show, and I was going to ask actually about that, about the microphones, because I've not seen him quite set it up that way before.
The XY pattern.
Yeah, usually there's one mic of a particular kind that if he were in here, he could explain what it was. But yeah, he's got this going on here. So, and Keith's got his headphones on, so he can hear the same thing you all out there can hear.
It's sort of like having two ears, you know, instead of just one point of the microphone.
Yeah, right. So if you have a real human being right up towards your guitar and hearing with both sides, you get the stereo effect. And hopefully that comes through to listeners out there. Always happy to know, by the way, how you think the show sounds. And we'll pass it along to Mike, you know. But he always does a great job. Where were we before we? Oh, the whole
the
poetry thing. Are you a fan of poetry yourself? Do you read much poetry?
I go back and forth like a lot of kids who took English class in high school. I dabbled a little bit with some things a long time ago, and then always have been aware through songwriters like Dylan and of the connection between, you know, they call poems songs sometimes, and but there's a gray area too. There's a lot of poetry like Sylvia Plath or Robert Lowell, it's a whole other category, which is way different than songs that singers sing. So, you know, then there's free verse, then there's Allen Ginsberg, and there's all different categories, just all different kinds of songs. But there's a definite connection between poetry, and I've always thought if you can sit and read a person's lyrics and enjoy them and comprehend them, that can be good poetry.
Have you ever attempted to take somebody's poem and turn it into a song?
There have been some people who've asked me to try to take their lyrics, which were kind of like a poem, and I just didn't feel like I wanted to do that unless they had some music going with it that I could kind of relate to. Not because I think it's a bad thing to do. I just have never done it.
Because you feel most comfortable just playing what comes out of you.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe I just haven't been exposed to that many situations where somebody would have asked me to do that. You know, usually the people that I'm collaborating with, they're doing music and lyrics both. So it's just I haven't run into many people that have wanted to do that, or maybe one or two people.
Does that mean you haven't quite made yourself in the sort of demand where you would get that question asked a lot? I mean, I don't know. Maybe songwriters don't typically get that question anyway.
I think it's just it's sort of like the group of people that I run around with. They all play guitar or piano and write lyrics and sing. So just not being in the environment of people walking with the lyrics and saying, hey, can you put some music to this? There's a lot of people that put ads up in Nashville for people to put music to their lyrics and stuff. But I don't know, I just have not been in that environment.
You've not been inclined to reply to one of those ads
right,
so far.
Right, I just never, just not in my circle of interest.
Do you do covers much, or you just mostly do your own material?
In Nashville, I don't do any covers at all. I do all my own stuff. When I come to Champaign, I do a blend of vintage covers and blues and things mixed in with original songs.
Which gives us a chance to remind folks that we are talking with and listening to Keith Hardin here on Live and Local. He's going to be, he's in from Nashville, back to his roots here in the Champaign-Urbana community, and he's going to be playing a solo show tonight in Blair Park in Urbana at 6:30, and then on Friday, joined by his vocalist sister Kathy Hardin, also guitarist Andy Baylor. They'll be playing together at Alta Vineyards in Champaign. That's 7:30 Friday night. And then the Keith Hardin Band reunion will be happening at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana Saturday night at 9 o'clock. And Sunday, then, Keith will be among the songwriters participating in a Writers in the Round session. Sunday from 6:30 to 9:30, Gloria Rubel's going to host that, and that'll be at Mike and Molly's in downtown Champaign. So that thing on Sunday, the songwriters are set who are going to be participating in that?
Right.
are other songwriters beyond those who know already they're going to be there welcome to come and participate? How does that work?
No, Gloria just picks four people usually, or including herself. Excuse me. Sorry about that. She picks a set of people that are just going to be the featured writers that night.
So otherwise people just, anybody else is welcome to come and listen and enjoy the whole deal.
Right. Yeah, it's open to the public and everybody can come and listen. And there might be situations where toward the end of the night somebody else might get up and sing a song, but I don't know exactly how she is doing it, because when she did it before, she would host it at the Iron Post or some other venues, and she would just usually feature four songwriters at once, and then they would just take turns for 3 hours playing all their songs.
Wow, 3 hours. That's pretty good.
Two or 3 hours.
Well, with break somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Well, this one is scheduled for 3 hours with breaks for drinks. I'm sure Mike and Molly would, Mike in particular, would appreciate that very much.
Yeah, hopefully the weather will be nice enough to be outside in the
Oh, I think it's supposed to be good for Sunday, at least forecast so far. If we get to it, maybe we'll have forecast at the top of the hour, but maybe not quite. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our broadcast today is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-244-9309. So the stuff you got for us today, these are all relatively new? One that's from earlier this year, I know you said.
Yeah. Actually, well, I have all kinds of things here from the last few years, but the ones that I was interested in playing are all fairly new. That's the fun thing to do, is what you've just written in the last month or two, or, you know, because it just feels fresh to you.
So what's the fresh next?
Okay,
song.
let's see here.
The next fresh song.
Let me tune this first, because I had that in a drop D tuning, and I got this new little tuner on here, clamped on to
and
the
I
head.
I presume some guitarists who are listening will know what a drop D tuning is.
Yeah, probably some of them do. I bet Mike does. Where you take the low E string and you tune it down to a drop D in order to give yourself a different register. Okay, this song is called My Wicked Ways, and most everything I write now is about either lost love or getting old. Cheerful stuff. Or atoning for my wickedness in past. So that's what this one's about. I almost forgot, sunshine is yellow. Almost forgot, good love heals your heart. It heals your soul. I almost forgot, the rain makes the grass green. I never ever forget, bad luck brought this pain. Love's gone again. When I look back 20 years or so, if only I had known what I know now, maybe I might have changed my ways. Change my ways, my wicked ways. people say clouds have silver linings, but I like to say silver turns to gray. When your love's in vain, wise men they say time heals all wounds, but I like to say time just makes you old. Then your time is gone, if I know what I know now. Maybe I might have changed my ways, changed my ways, my wicked ways.
Keith Harden, My Wicked Ways, that song is called. And I was trying to sort of imagine while you were singing that, given that it's has a very tender feel to it, just how wicked could your ways have been?
Well.
And what did you have in mind?
you just sort of, you always think that, you know, that you've done things or said things to people in the past. And when you're young and, you know, and spunky, it doesn't, you know, it sort of rolls off your back like water off a duck's back. But then when you get older, you say, oh, why did I say that hurtful thing to that person? Or why was I so snarky? Or why did I have such an attitude about that? You know, just things long time ago, like when you're 21 or 22 and you get in an argument with your sister or your brother or your wife or whoever, girlfriend, and you just look back and you go, God, why was I so mean sometimes? You know, not physically, but just why did I say those?
Or just even what was that all about?
Smart aleck things to them, you know.
Yeah. Is it all looking back on things you used to do, or does it include, do you think as you get older and, you know, you quickly assess things that maybe you just did now and you think, well, what did I do that for? A lot more quickly than you might have done when you were younger, where when you were younger you might persist in it or something.
Yeah, I think old people get grumpier, but they have less of a tendency to be mean for the sake of it. It's just, I don't know. That's kind of what I get from that song, is just awakening up to the fact that, you know, trying to atone for being mean when you're younger and, you know, not that I was excessively mean, but...
We all are in our ways, I suppose.
Maybe just little ways. Actually, I'd never quite thought of it quite that graphically, but anyway.
Well, that's what happens when you have somebody listening to your song relatively carefully.
You are.
Or at least trying to. I often actually have, I've said on here before, I often have trouble listening to songs and latching on to the lyrics. It's just something that I tend to listen to the music more than the words. But maybe today I'm a little more alert or something.
So I think I'm the same way. I listen to the I say, what's that guitar part? That's what rose through my mind. And
really?
The words come later, yeah.
Even though you're a songwriter and words are so important.
Yeah, because growing up as a kid, I was always like, oh, yeah, let me learn this guitar part. And then the words would sort of come along with it. I'd repeat something on a record, and a lot of times so I would have the guitar part down, and by that time I'd have the words memorized without even thinking about it. And I don't know why that is. Just I always think of it as a guitar player first.
When you start a song, do you start it with the guitar first?
Mostly all the time. Most of the stuff you hear starts with a little bit of music first before the words.
So for example, that song there, you might have started the lick that sort of runs throughout, the pattern that runs throughout.
Right.
And then it would inspire some words?
Yeah, I think I was, you always, the place where I sit and write most of the times, I get up and I'll drink a little coffee and I'll sit and look out the window, and if it's a nice sunny day, and when you're a songwriter naturally, you almost always either strum the G chord or the D chord or the C chord for some reason, or maybe the E. But the G is just sort of a nice, comfortable, like Simon and Garfunkel, sort of like. It's a still life watercolor. You get in that mode. And I was just in that mode of the finger picking open, G chord. Get that going, and it's just like, oh yeah, that's a nice comfortable little place to be. And then you're looking out the window and the sunshine is yellow, and you're worrying about all this other stuff, and you go, I almost forgot the sunshine is yellow. It sounds stupid.
And then here starts the song.
Then the song starts, right?
Yeah, from there.
Sometimes you're worried about so much stuff like Twitter or Facebook or all of this or all that, or 1,000,000,000 emails and phone calls, and you realize, oh yeah, the sun is yellow. It's beautiful outside.
I actually just this morning, getting out of bed, and I just looked out the window, and wow, it's a beautiful day again, and hot.
And but, hot.
Which it wasn't inside, so I was able to enjoy the beautiful day without feeling the heat. But I also, it also did not inspire me to write a song, I have to say.
Yeah. Well, you conduct more than write, or do you write as well?
I do not write anything. I do not write music, no.
You're lucky.
Why is that?
Because writing is just, it's a pain in the, it's painful.
But you apparently feel compelled at some level.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sort of half kidding.
Well, I know. I mean, there are famous quotes that, of course, I will not be able to remember, where writers say that, a writer is the person for whom writing is just awful, or it's really difficult, or it's impossible. Some form of torture, it seems like, and yet you are compelled to write for some reason or another. So I guess what's the part that compels you to write?
Just sort of have to, I'm chicken scratching for my immortality. That's a line from Joni Mitchell.
It's a good line.
Just chicken scratching for my mortality. And sometimes I hate guitar too. You'd be in Nashville and there's so many guitar players, and some of them have just begun to play. And you go to a songwriter night and there'll be 20 songwriters there, and not very many of them can play very well. Some of them can play extremely well.
By the way, I did find the name of that guitarist I was thinking about earlier, okay. William Tyler.
William Tyler.
Is that a name you know?
Is he from Nashville?
I don't remember if he's from Nashville, but he's in Nashville. He's not a very old guy, and I know that from looking at pictures, he has extraordinarily long nails, much longer than the average classical guitarist nails. Apparently, he got his training more or less in a classical style, but his finger style... really relies on. I don't remember if it was just three fingers, but it made for a certain really technical and an often beautiful style of picking the guitar. But it was just instrumental, so he didn't do. But anyway, since we mentioned it earlier in the show, if anybody was listening, a fellow who was at Indigo Artist Co-op, turns out it was the week of April the 2nd.
Did he play a nylon string, and was he playing classical style, or was he?
Now that I won't remember.
Oh.
Because he wasn't in here, so I didn't really see what exactly he was doing. I just saw some videos of him and made note of the nails, and we talked about that because classical guitarists typically have a really long thumbnail. And maybe not fingers.
A friend of mine has these false nails put on.
Actually, he talked about
for
that
guitar.
Yeah.
And they're not colored or anything. They're clear and they're really hard. And I've thought about doing that, but then I garden so much that, you know, I'd get them filthy. But my
but
nails are always
really
breaking all the time.
You have really short nails. I mean, you're not.
Yeah, I keep them cut because otherwise they get caught. So I've just learned to play with the flesh of my fingers. And it's a certain sound, you know, like as opposed to sounding bright like this with a pick. It's more like just a smoother sound.
So you obviously have the picks there, but
yeah,
depending upon what tune you're going to do.
Yeah.
Did a little bit of blues there.
A little bit of bluesgrass stuff, yeah.
Bluesgrass?
Bluegrass.
Bluesgrass. I like that, though.
Bluesgrass.
That implies a certain kind of fusion. We're talking with Keith Hardin here on Live and Local, listening to him live on the show. He'll be at Blair Park in Urbana tonight at 6:30. Friday, he'll be with Kathy Hardin and Andy Baylor at Alto Vineyards in Champaign at 7:30. Saturday, getting together with the old Keith Hardin Band, a reunion show at the Iron Post in Urbana, 9 o'clock, and then the songwriters in the round at Mike and Molly's in downtown Champaign, Sunday from 6:30 to 9:30, hosted by Gloria Rubel, who'll be one of the four singer-songwriters participating in that event. Our show today is made possible with support from the Illinois Shakespeare Festival, presenting Shakespeare's As You Like It, Othello, Comedy of Errors, and The Rivals by Richard Brinsley Sheridan from June 28th through August 11th at Ewing Manor in Bloomington. Ticket information is available at thefestival.org or 309-438-2535. Tonight on our evening concert at 7 o'clock, it's another program in our month-long series from the 2011 Salzburg Festival. Alyssa Wallerstein is soloist in Shostakovich's second cello concerto with the Gustav Mahler Youth Orchestra, conducted by Einars Rubikis, and that is at 7 o'clock tonight on the evening concert from the Salzburg Festival here on FM 90.9. What do you got next?
Well, let's see. I'm going to do something a little bit bluesy.
I like the blues.
With the KHB reunion, Keith Hardin Band reunion on Saturday with Andy and Billy, it's an all-electric gig. But I do like to include blues in my other gigs, too. This one is called Beyond a Shadow of a Doubt, and it's in a really raw kind of hill country delta, Mississippi hill country delta style. Beyond a Shadow of a Doubt. She said I stole all her sweet love, but I said, baby, I just borrowed it. She said I used up all her innocence, and then she showed me that it was gone. Beyond a shadow, beyond a shadow of a doubt. Beyond a shadow, beyond a shadow of a doubt. Beyond a shadow, beyond a shadow of a doubt. All her sweet love is gone. Said, baby, you're the one that's wild. She said I used up all her sweet love, and then she proved now that it was gone. Beyond a shadow, beyond a shadow of a doubt. Beyond a shadow, beyond a shadow of a doubt. Beyond a shadow, beyond a shadow of a doubt. All her sweet love is gone.
shadow of a doubt, beyond a shadow, beyond a shadow of a doubt, beyond a shadow, beyond a shadow of a doubt, before her sweet love is gone. All her sweet love is gone. All her sweet love is gone.
Beyond a Shadow of a Doubt, Keith Hardin, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. You know, there's a, on your bio, you have a, on your website, you made a point of saying that when you run low on inspiration as a songwriter, you get the guitar out and play the blues. How does that work? How does that you know, coming back to the idea of coming to Champaign-Urbana, as I asked you at the beginning, and sort of rejuvenate yourself. Why did the blues, do you think, energize you as a songwriter?
There's a quote that John Lennon said, the blues is like an old rocking chair or something. It's just a comfortable thing you can sit in, you know. And whether you know it or not, the Beatles' music had a lot of blues influence underneath it in a lot of their songs. And they played a lot of blues back when they played the Cavern Club when they were young and getting their chops together. And then I did a lot of blues for a long time and studied it and just acclimated myself to all the different styles of it. And it's just a very comfortable place to go to for me because it's simple and it's primitive and you can turn your mind off in a way and just sort of exist within the moment of the blues and the feeling. And songwriting is a little more, slightly more intellectual process, not high intellect, but just you're always trying to create something new or make something new, but the blues, you're kind of sitting in that old comfortable chair and staying in this other territory that's more simple and direct.
And going back to that more simple space helps clear the mind out?
Yeah, I think so.
For complexities to come?
I think that's it just lets you play and feel as opposed to thinking as much. Because there's a lot of thinking that's involved in songwriting.
Is that another way of saying that it's meditative for you to go to the blues?
Yeah, yeah. And then also a lot of the blues is one or two or three chords, and so it's a very hypnotic, sometimes can be even boring, you know, style that just, like say Voodoo Child by Hendrix is just one chord the whole time. Well, no, it has a chord progression in there, but it's primarily one chord for 20 minutes, and it's a hypnotic thing, you know, going back to Delta and maybe even Voodoo culture where they sort of repeat the same melody and the same licks over and over again and get into a trance-like state in order to kind of either ease pain or to find something in themselves.
And the texts tend to be repetitive in the blues.
Right. But then it's not the only type of music that has that in it. You know, when you listen to Ravi Shankar, and that Indian sitar music has a very, you know, I don't want to say monotonous, but I mean monotone sound.
Yeah, monotone it. in the literal sense.
Yes.
And then a lot of the ragas and the various permutations of Indian music can go on and on and on. So you're in that trance
right
for a long time.
Right. And it's highly complex what the improvisations mm-hmm. are. I love that type of music myself. And it's highly complex, but the underneath it is a simple thing. And then, yeah, they're going for a meditative state or something inside of there. And I think real primitive blues is the same way.
Do you tend to gravitate for that reason to songwriting that is less complex, or does going into the trance-like state of the blues enable you to produce things that are more complex than you might otherwise do?
Oh, it just depends upon what, you know, if I'm working with another songwriter and if they have a very simple style, I try to adapt to them. And I've written some stuff that has 10 or 12 verses and a lot of chord changes, but for some reason I never want to perform that out because, you know, it's kind of too much. The nice thing about a song is 3 or 4 minutes of just like a short story or something, you know, instead of like a novel. So it has its place, you know.
You wouldn't want somebody to come up to you afterwards or just leave thinking, boy, that guy needed an editor.
Yeah, yeah.
I know. I have felt that way often about singer-songwriters, particularly folk-style singer-songwriters. I think sometimes can just go on in their. I don't know if it's a sort of a form of self-importance or they think they're saying something really profound and it's like they should have stopped 3 verses ago. That's my feeling about certain types of folk singer-songwriters.
Mm-hmm. Well, when Dylan first was doing songs like, say, It's a Hard Rain's Gonna Fall, and I don't know how he's got, 6 or 8 verses or whatever, but he was historically and politically and everything that was going on in the times, you would be hanging on every word. I would be, and a lot of people. And he could do 8 verses, and you were hanging on every word because you felt like he was plugged into something, and he was channeling some sort of thing that you wanted to hear. But not very many people can do that.
And each verse was actually saying something.
It was actually saying something, right. And, well, you know, I'm sure there are certain people that can do that too. You know, Woody Guthrie did it in his own way, and certain real key creative songwriters can get away with 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 verses of something. But once it gets all marketized, you know.
You end up taking those verses out.
Yeah, you want to hear, like, you'd hear the Byrds doing Mr. Tambourine Man, just doing 2 verses, and that'd be the hit song, whereas Dylan was doing 6 verses of Tambourine Man when he played it.
And people would listen.
Right.
Now it's hard to listen to Dylan. Yeah. Just period.
His new voice is not, I don't like it as well as his young voice. His young voice had a vitality, but now it's...
His new voice is an old voice.
But he still writes great lyrics, yeah. I think. But, yeah.
Before we hear you, probably one more song.
Okay.
Let me run down some of the other things going on in our listening area, and then I'll mention again where Keith is going to be. So let's see. Today's Wednesday, so that means we start at this point in our calendar. John Miller and the Romantics will be at the Rhythm Kitchen in Peoria this evening at 6:30. I had a listing that the Gunny Sack Review will do their folk and bluegrass thing in Arthur at the Gazebo Annex, but I just learned the other day that they've moved to somewhere else, and I don't know where. It's been at 7 o'clock, so if anybody listening knows where, drop me a line at willcalendar@illinois.edu, willcalendar@illinois.edu. That same address, you can let me know about your events or your artist or whoever you'd like us to know about on Live and Local. Tom Irwin and Jeff Ryan will be at Bob's Butternut Hut in Springfield tonight at 9 o'clock. It's Cabaret Night with David Thies and Jeff Poor at the Iron Post in Urbana this evening at 5. Followed at 8 o'clock by the Sam Hastings Quartet with Brian Crock. The Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan is presenting 7 Brides for 7 Brothers, 8 o'clock tonight, and check their website for the complete schedule. The University of Illinois Summer Band is on the U of I Quad in Urbana tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. The U of I Theater Department, the Summer Studio Theater, continues to present Shipwrecked and Entertainment, The Amazing Adventures of Louis de Rougemont, as told by himself. That's tomorrow at 7:30, also Friday at the same time. Heartland Theater Company continues its 10-Minute Play Festival tomorrow through Saturday at 7:30 with a Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. It's, I'm going to forget how to say her name, and I'll need to know before tomorrow because they're going to be on our show tomorrow. Evie Layden and Keith Terry with Don't Ask as a presentation of the CU Folk and Roots at Iron Post in Urbana tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock, and they will be on the show. And I just want to mention one more, Charleston Community Band Concert at Kiwanis Park Amphitheater in Charleston tomorrow night, 7:30. Oh, and Thoroughly Modern Millie, put on by the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company, student production at Parkland Theater, Thursday through Saturday, 7:30, Sunday at 2:30. You're listening to 90.9 WYL FM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and more for Central Illinois. We're a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois, and we have support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wine tastings on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. This Saturday's tasting features a sampling from the Marketplace Wines portfolio, followed from 7 to 9 by the Gypsy Jazz of Django Reinhardt, led by Jordan Kay. Keith Harden will be at Blair Park in Urbana tonight at 6:30. He'll be with Kathy Harden and Andy Beller Friday night at Alta Vineyards in Champaign at 7:30. Saturday, it's the Keith Harden Band reunion at the Iron Post in Urbana at 9, and the Songwriters in the Round with Keith, Gloria Rubel, and others, Mike and Molly's in Champaign, Sunday night, 6:30 to 9:30. Keith, what do you want to take us out with?
I wanted to give you a choice.
Oh, boy.
I have one that's kind of in the Mississippi John Hurt, folky, bluesy, finger-picking style. Then I have one that's a little more of a, I guess I would call it, with an Appalachian minor key, folky, country sort of.
Okay, now I'm curious about that one. So
okay.
That's my vote.
All right, this song is called Lost All the Love I've Ever Found, and let me check my tuning. A groovy new little tuner here, Planet Waves. Mike's smiling. I actually have posted one of the radio shows we did on my website, and I've had several people comment on, say, "Oh yeah, we'd like to listen to that."
Good.
And I, so I figure I better be in tune if people are going to be listening to it.
Well, and we'll actually be posting the video or from this show at some point on our website.
Oh, that's right. I definitely. If I had known that, I would have
dressed up.
Yeah, I would have worn clothes. So I'm strumming on this one, so it might be a little different level, Mike. Okay. Engineering on the fly. This is called Lost All the Love I've Ever Found, and it's really just sort of about driving up here to Champaign and seeing everybody and the sights you see and the beauty. In its own way, it's a very stark beauty of driving through the cornfields and stuff. And red-winged blackbird on a barbed wire fence. The corn is high as a 4th of July. I'm on my way up through the farms and fields. Mind is just as open as the sky. I left my troubles back in Tennessee. When I get back, they're waiting there for me. I see my brothers and my sister's kids. There used to be a woman. There used to be. I've lost all the love I've ever found.